light in darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. I'm back. How about that? You know, the one thing I learned while I was in the Army, and by the way, this is Cope, and now we're going ready for the Shooting Bench, and it's still the 8th of September, it's still Tuesday, and I still hope you guys had a great Labor Day weekend this weekend. If there's one thing I learned while I was in the Army, that was how to eat. In that few minutes that but I was gone, when Amy came in, from the time I signed off to the time I got back in, I ate a big bowl of Spanish rice, 3 chicken tacos, and a piece of watermelon. So I'm I am good to go right now. So, all right. I've got enough of the fun and games here. Want to mention to everybody that our our Arms Expo here in Sholo is coming up, Restoring America's Heritage, and the We Will Not Comply Arms Expo, that would be Southwest Shooting Authority, has teamed up with Liberty for All. Liberty for All now has a chapter down here in Arizona, of which I am the chief cook and bottle washer of this chapter now. And I can tell you that I am absolutely honored to be associated with the, I've told you all before what I think of the folks from the original, the real LFA, the real Liberty for All. And they are still just as amazing as they ever were, and I hope that I can live up to half of what those folks are up there. And that goes for everybody that's listening on there. Long Slide, B2 Basic, Eddie, the Yakima Glock's not here tonight, Tampico Scout, and a number of others from up there. I can't say enough about these guys. And a lot of them are going to be coming down here. All of them that are able to will be coming down here on October 16th, 17th, and 18th for the Arms Expo. Thunder 57, glad to see you, brother. Glad you made it in. Been a little while since I've seen you. Doc 1, no. Liberty for All actually is not endorsing 1911 pistols. I think that the overwhelming majority of us, if not all of us, carry the finest handgun ever made, and that is, of course, the Glock. Thank you very much. All right, I've got to get serious for a minute, and I hate to. It's a couple of things we need to talk about. One of them briefly, and I keep forgetting this. Minnie told me about this a while back, and I have neglected to tell you all. I think that she may have told you. I don't know. But you remember, what was that gal, Goat Girl, who used to hang out in the chat room every once in a while? And it was her, I'm assuming her husband or significant other or whatever, Billy. Well, Billy has passed on, and this was 2 or 3 weeks ago that Minnie got me this, and I keep forgetting to let you know. But just thought I'd, for those of you that may know her, then maybe you can get a hold of her and offer your condolences and blame it on me for not letting you know earlier. I apologize for that. Okay, now, this next one. This one is one that, there's just no good way to put it. There's one of my listeners, one of my friends on Facebook. I've never met him, but we have interacted quite a bit on Facebook. And, you know, you get to where it's kind of like this chat room. There's a lot of you that I've never met, but, we're absolutely friends, and I feel that way about this guy. Very like-minded. He's a gun guy. He's very much like me. And his brother, a week ago today, was practicing, best they can tell, practicing his quick draw technique from a Western style, cowboy type rig. Apparently messed it up, dropped the gun, and went to catch it, caught it by the trigger guard, and fired into, the bullet went into his chest, come out his back, went through the aorta, and killed him very, very quickly. And I have to say that, first off, I can't say, even though I've never met him, I can't say how bad I feel for him and his family. And I, what can you say? And situation like this. It looks like the Maryland mailman is there. The Maryland mailman, it was his brother, and his name is Jeff Adamson, and he is a mailman. He is up in Maryland, and we've talked a great many times. And there's a lot of things to discuss here in an instant like this. Jeff says that the guy, his brother, preaches gun safety and all that, and this still happened to him. So why did it happen? Okay, let me, at the risk of saying something, maybe that is not correct, but I'm gonna step out on a limb here. I don't know the guy. I've never met him. I don't know what his skills were. They say he preaches gun safety, but lots of people preach gun safety and still don't know exactly, some of the things. Safety, I've told you before, safety techniques and procedures have changed over the years. And there are reasons, things like this happening, there are reasons for it. And let's look at some of the things he did wrong. Number one, if you're practicing quick draw, unless you are practicing and firing, which he was not, because this was in a, I believe it was kind of a residential area. Apparently, let me go look here and make sure I get this right. I just had it here. Well, what the heck? What a dork. There I go. Let me scroll down here a little bit. Oh, okay. It was his granddaughter, 8-year-old granddaughter. How awful is this? 8-year-old granddaughter was with him. He was watching her ride her bike. She was 100 feet away, and she heard the bang. She turned and saw him fall. She dropped her bike and ran over to him, and a neighbor was driving by and got to him the same time she did. Called 911, but by that time, the bullet struck a major artery, and he was already gone. So there's a couple of things here. Certainly, it was a single action army peanut rider. Practicing quick draw with the loaded gun, I doubt that he was, since the girl was out there riding, I don't know if he was practicing shooting and drawing or just practicing shooting. But one of the things when we talk about handling guns with, transferring the gun from the, to either hand, from the firing side to the support side or back, one of the things that I try to push very hard, if you happen to drop that gun, if it slips from your hand, I want your hands to just go up in the air, and I want you to practice that with a blue gun or with a squirt gun or a plastic gun or a toy gun. And if you fumble it somehow and mess up and drop it, do not try to catch the gun. Do not try to catch the gun. This is hard to do because it's our nature. Some of us are faster than others, but it's our nature to try to catch that because we don't want that $600 Glock or that $3,000 1911 hitting the ground. But I can tell you what you don't want even worse than that, and that is a hole in your chest going out your back, going through your aorta. If you drop the gun, let it go. Most modern guns, overwhelmingly, will not fire when they hit the ground. Old single-action Colts, they sure might. But the chances are probably less that the gun would fire and hit you than if you drop it on the ground, that it would be if you try to catch it, would be my guess. Now, the detective said he may have forgot it was loaded. Well, how many times have we talked about chamber checks? You check the gun every single time you pick it up. If you're going to go out there and start quick drawing and mess it, always double check that chamber. There was a child around, close proximity. So, obviously the guy preaches safety. I'm sure that he was, hopefully he was facing in a safe direction and all of that. I don't know the circumstances, but you still, if you're going to be, it's kind of like when we dry practice, for our good long slide, thank you, I'm glad you do. And it's not that hard to do, guys. It doesn't take that long. And I'll tell you two things that it does is doing those religious, constant chamber checks. One is that it's the safety aspect of knowing whether it's loaded or not. And two, it can't do anything but reinforce good, safe handling skills. How can it hurt? How long does it take? 1-2 seconds extra, maybe? Out of your however many seconds there is in a day, you can afford to do a few chamber checks a day if you're handling your gun. It's like when we dry practice, we check and double check and literally tell ourselves. Now, what this guy was doing was essentially dry practice. He was practicing his quick draw. Was it in the right place at the right time? Yeah, probably not. But nevertheless, if you're going to practice a technique, check the chamber. In the case of a revolver, check all the chambers. Open it up, check it out, look at each one of them. Put it back in the holster if you're going to do whatever technique from the holster. And tell yourself out loud that the gun is unloaded and it's safe to dry practice. Or to practice your fast quick draw or your whatever. And when you get through and you load that gun back up and goes back in the holster before you go anywhere or do anything, tell yourself out loud that the gun is now loaded and it is no longer safe to dry practice. Does that sound like kind of a stretch, a little bit of an overkill? Do you really think that that's so much effort and so much of a inconvenience to you? Remember, we've talked about risk versus reward, right? Tell me what comes to mind. Risk versus reward. Is the inconvenience of that chamber check so much that it is worth chancing being shot or shooting someone else? I told you the story about the guy in Fallon Air Force Base in Nevada. 9mm Beretta 92. Guy had been dry practicing way too long. And make a long story short, he loaded his gun back up, getting ready to change shifts. And he sees a boy on a bicycle coming over 100 yards away. And he hadn't made it back in the holster yet from reloading the gun. He pulls the gun out, points at the guy, pulls the trigger, and dropped that kid off that bicycle, deader than a hammer from 100 yards. And I've always said that there's not an SP in the history of the United States Air Force probably could have made that shot on purpose. He made it because he thought the gun was empty, because he did not properly go through these dry practice procedures. Now, guys, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I'm probably not the best instructor in the world. But there are certain things that we have to do. There are things that, I've been doing this all this time. I don't need to do this. I'm 70 years old. I've never had an accident. I know what I'm doing. Let me tell you about another 70-year-old guy. I'll tell you before, but I gotta. This goes along with what we're talking about. He was in, is it Flor Vista? Yeah, Flor Vista, New Mexico, right outside of Aztec. And there, long slide, long slide, it takes a man to admit mistakes like that. Killed a refrigerator back in the 90s. Luckily, he was pointed at the refrigerator. Didn't do a chamber check. Well, the guy, the 70-year-old guy in Flor Vista, had a .32 gun in his pocket for fun. and he went to pull it out. Somehow got hung up on keys, pocket knife, pulled the trigger, nobody knows. He shot himself in the opposite leg in the femoral artery. And he was screaming and carrying on, or his wife was what I meant to say. And she's getting on the phone. She calls 911. Can you imagine? Put yourself in his place for a minute, if you will. Stop what you're doing. Stop all the nonsense for just a minute and put yourself in his place. Close your eyes and think about this a little bit. He pulled the trigger. He knows he's shot. He knows it's arterial. He sees the blood spurting out. He hears his wife call 911. He hears the sirens in the background as his vision starts to fade. And he starts getting cold. And as all this fades away and he slides to the ground, is it really worth not having a pocket gun in a holster? Is it really worth not doing those chamber checks when you're handling your gun? Every time you've laid it down, picked it up, put it away, done anything different with it at all, check the chamber. When it goes in the holster, it should be loaded unless you are about to practice your procedures of some kind. If you get in a situation where you have to pull it and pull the trigger, absolutely you want it to be loaded. You don't want to guess at it. You don't want to do a chamber check, have to do a chamber check when you're standing out in a dark alley behind the theater one night. But in all of your administrative procedures, chamber check does nothing but reinforce good handling skills. I've pushed this and pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And, you know, accidents, unfortunate as they are, you know, they are 100% preventable. As we get older, we probably, in some regards, may even need to be more cautious than we were before, because there are issues that may cause us to be, you know, forget some of the things that we're supposed to be doing. Can I help you? It's right over there on that bottom shelf under the reloading stuff. So, Marilyn, mailman to your left. Isn't it right? Yeah, there you go. Marilyn, mailman, my condolences. I can't imagine what you're going through, and I want to thank you for relaying that story to me and allowing us to tell it on the air. Hopefully it will help someone else not to do the same thing, which doesn't help your brother a damn bit, but hopefully we can learn from his mistake. And hope you can come back to the shooting bench one of these days. I know it's late for you way out yonder. But you're certainly always welcome back here. All right, it's a little before break time here, but I've got to get my stuff in order here. So give me just about 3 minutes and 43 seconds, and I'll be back.
Yeah.
She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
When they stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather, for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly, with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
Okay, we're back. There's been a little disruption here in LFA. It was minor, and it's been resolved, and we're going forward, and it's all going to be a good thing. So I posted the new Arizona LFA group on the chat room there. If you guys want to go check it out, Mold Spore. Wow, good to see you in here. I haven't seen you for a while. Welcome. And absolutely, I would be tickled to death to answer a Glock question for you if I can, if somebody hasn't already taken care of it for you. Doc 1, I don't know what the question was, but a 1911 is not the answer, nor is it ever the answer. Well, that's not true. When you're looking for a boat anchor or a good heavy club, you know, you need a good contact weapon. 1911 is hard to beat. Ain't no doubt about it. But, anyway, Mold Spore, if you want. Okay. You hated the serrated trigger on the Glock 19. Will a smooth OEM trigger Glock say? Yes, it will. Absolutely. They are the same trigger. They're listed with different parts, but they are absolutely the same trigger. All the 9s, 40s, 357 SIGs, well, I say all the 9s, that excludes the 43. But all of the double stack 9s, 40s, 357 SIGs, and the 45 gap all have the same trigger bar. And yes, the smooth trigger will fit the serrated one, or if you have a Dremel tool, you can just trim off the, smooth those serrations out on the 19 and make it just fine. Now, I'm going to tell you another little trick. On all stock Glocks, when you go to place your finger on the trigger, the tip of your finger on the trigger, you can feel that trigger safety sticking right into the middle of your finger there. It sticks out past the safety, and if you shoot it all day long, it hurts. After a while, it's uncomfortable. So the what you can do is just take your Dremel tool and trim that off a little bit. Now, let me give you a word of caution here. When you trim that off, it feels so much better. It makes all the difference in the world. But remember that you don't grind it all off, because then your trigger safety is not going to work, okay? That's you've got to do it just enough so that it is flush and you cannot feel it anymore, so that it will still disengage the trigger safety. I shouldn't call it the trigger safety, but the drop safety, okay? That where that little leg sticks out behind the trigger, and you press that, and that will allow you to pull the trigger the rest of the way. So don't trade it off too much. Don't grind it off too much, and you'll love it. I don't care whether you get the smooth trigger, the serrated trigger, doesn't make any difference. That little trigger safety needs to be, that little stub sticking out there needs to be removed. So, what is Doc saying now? Serration, stippling, finger grooves, all that stuff. A lot of folks really don't like coming into its own when your hands are... And that's a fact, Doc, and that's one of the reasons that, of course, you know that there's been all manner of modifications forever, for years and years and years, on the 1911s. But on stock Glocks, buddy, you have got to do something better than the stock finish that's on the Glock. It is slippery, and when it's a little bit wet or bloody or sweaty, it is hard to hold on to that gun. I promise that. So it's one of the downsides, and that is why I have stippled, grip reductions and stippled nearly 2,600 guns. We've run 2,600 Glocks through the shop for various things. Overwhelmingly, it was grip reductions and stippling. And there's several different kinds of stippling that we had on there, and any of them were infinitely better than the stock grip on the Glock. So, the, you know, C7, I am going to get my FFL again. I really am. I've just put it off and put it off and put it off, and I'm sorry about that. I do need to get that done. There's a couple of Glocks right there that D put in there. You know, I've noticed on the... These were stippled by the same person, but it doesn't look like the slides were done by the same person. The slide serrations are vertical on one, and got about maybe a 8 or 10 degree angle on the other ones. But I noticed that there's another company that I used to teach for that has got their own version of Glocks going out now. And they have, everybody used to get on me and say, because we put a 12 degree angle on the, front of the slide for chamber checks and whatnot, press check, as some people like to call them. And I caught a lot of grief over that. Everybody said, "Oh, it needs to match. You know, it should be straight. This, and that, and the other. Blah, blah, blah." And lo and behold, now we've got at least four other companies out there putting that 12-degree grip angle, or that 12-degree angle on those serrations. I was just looking at the gun that C7 posted there. That one looks like it's got a little bit of a camouflage bit to it there. And that is one of our guns. I'd recognize that stippling anywhere. We've got the... And I don't know where, why the... Hey, you guys off?
Yeah, we're leaving.
Okay.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Take care. We'll see you.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks so much.
That's one of our guns done there. That was our missionaries headed out there. They're headed home now. Amy has filled their tummies up for them, so they're headed home. Amy is sure good at that. She never misses a chance to feed those missionaries. The Yakima Glock, the corner is free. It is all yours. So we'll let you know when it's time to get in there or get out of there. There's been so many things happen here over the last... Now, Tampico Scout, we've got people from other states wanting to know now, how do they get their LFA group, their I'll have to talk to you about that later. All right, let's get off this. We got a lot of other things we got to talk about. Let's see. Let this guy know. He'll let him know with all. All right. Now here's a. This is a real story. Unbelievable. I would go absolutely bat's bit if this happened at my school. Check this out.
They did this assignment where they wrote out the five pillars of Islam, including having the children learn and write the Shahada, which is the Islamic conversion creed. So I do think it is the state sponsoring religion in schools. They're not going over anything else. So for the students to have to memorize this prayer, it does seem like it's indoctrination.
This was in Spring Hill Middle School. Not sure where Spring Hill is. But this mother of this seventh grader is livid. The students are instructed not only to write Allah is the only God, but also to write the Islamic conversion creed. Let me explain something to you here, folks, ladles and jelly spoons. Hey, Susie B, glad you made it in. Wow, long time no see. Jeez. Welcome, glad you made it. I can't give you a real good idea. I can't give you an accurate description of what would happen if that happened at my kid's school. Obviously, the intelligent thing to do would be simply to yank her out of there and burn the school down. Well, I don't know if that's the most intelligent thing to do, but this kind of stuff has to be stopped. And, you know, just jerking the kid out of school may not be the way to stop it. It's getting to a point here where myself and people like me have to choose their words very, very carefully. Because there is a point where they feel that you have broken the law in the things that you say. There are certain things that you cannot advocate. So I'm going to leave it up to your imagination. But in my not so humble opinion, something has to be modified. Hey, Susie B, we can forgive you for that. When you don't have internet, certainly I know that that gets to be a problem. And it's an aggravating problem. I know that we have gotten very, very used to our internet for many things here. Okay, and Doc, you know, and it's everyone. Doc says the conservatives are wusses when it comes to street action, but it's pretty much everybody. You know, there's a handful of patriots. I'd like to think that there's a handful in every state. But when I say a handful, I mean like I could hold out my hand and probably hold them all up in some of the states out there. Now, up in Washington, there's a bushel basket full. And here in Arizona, there's a sizable amount. New Mexico, there's quite a few. I say quite a few, but when you look at the population of New Mexico, And what's the population there is probably still less than 2 million. Or right about 2 million, 1.8 or something like that. So we've got, let's just round it up to 2 million people. There's probably, that I am aware of because of associations that I have with people over there, there are probably somewhere between 300 and 500 pretty solid patriots over there. There's probably less than 200 real solid patriots. Now, if you line these 200 people up, if you had one militia with 200 people in it, that's a pretty impressive group. But 200 people out of a million, 2 million, that is, what is that, 0.1% or something like that? That's unacceptable. That's gonna be difficult. That's not 3%. We're looking for that 3% in each state, or at least overall in the country. There's a modification due. So, how and if that's ever going to take place, hard to say. All I can say is that the country would benefit from something like that. Okay. All right. Well, let's go look at other things here. There are so many things going on right now. It's killing me. I can't keep up. I'm trying to keep up with all the things that I'm supposed to be doing here. And at the same time, seeing all the things that are coming over the news wires and stuff. So there's certainly not a shortage of things to talk about. Okay. Now, here's one of my favorite topics. I don't know how many times we've talked about this, but this is a brand new one. This is, let me check the date on here. Yep, September 5th, 3 days ago. A guy, gun-toting Brooklyn bandit, dodged more than 80 police bullets early Friday in a wild street shootout that began with a botched armed robbery and ended with his arrest. The oft-apprehended Gerald Harris, 27, was busted around 1:10 a.m. when a single bullet out of 84 fired at him pierced his calf, to end a blocks-long police pursuit through this town. 84 rounds. Now, I told you once before, maybe suppressive fire is now an approved technique in New York City, I don't know. But I told you once before what the hit ratio, at least at one time, was of NYPD. At a distance of 0 to 2 meters, we're talking just a hair over 6 feet and less, the hit ratio was 50%. 50%. 6 feet away. And less. Unbelievable. The running gun battle came to a head when Harris opened fire with a stolen .45 caliber pistol, discharging at least 6 shots at 2 cops using their parked patrol car to cut off his escape route. He fired at them and they fired back, and that's when he was hit. Witnesses said Harris collapsed in the street once he was finally wounded, with a black handgun and a small pile of spent cartridge casings long laying beside him. The crippling gunshot came in the second of 2 firefights with cops while Harris was on the run after shooting a Brooklyn man during a robbery. Half dozen cops fired at the fleeing suspect, who squeezed off a half dozen rounds in return from his black Taurus Millennium pistol. No police officers were wounded. Harris was nabbed by cops in part because of his red pants. Career criminal, let's see. See if there's anything else relevant here. Anyway, I guess that's all that... Four officers, let's see. Harris was spotted running 8 blocks from her, and then he gets behind a parked car and starts to shoot cops. Four officers at the scene fired 52 rounds, while Harris pumped one bullet into an unmarked police car and took off again. So, 84 rounds fired, one connected to the calf. There you have it. Jeez. Yeah, Doc, they may have 12-pound triggers. But that's where the term New York trigger spring came from on the Glocks. They may have 12-pound triggers, but I don't see that as an excuse. Because if they still had double-action revolvers and were shooting in double-action mode, they would be shooting in 12, 14, 16-pound trigger pulls. And, you know, if you've got a decently smooth trigger, the weight is not nearly as important. So I can't use that as an excuse for them. You know as well as I do, and you're probably a better shot with a revolver than I am, but a double-action revolver with a 12-pound trigger pull is considered relatively on the light side. When you get down to 10 pounds, you get, the average revolver starts experiencing light primer strikes, and, you know, there's a lot of other things that you need to do. If you're going to have a trigger that light, there's quite a few other things you need to do to the revolver to make it reliable. So, anyway, 84 rounds. Good grief. Okay, well, let me go back here and grab it. I've got so many stories here. This one could have been solved, okay? This was a story that didn't have to happen. And it's funny. There is a brand new story here. There's a lady here from the... There's a member of the LGBT community, Jennifer Cramblett. If she was anything but LGBT, lesbian, she'd be a racist. You know why? Because she's suing the sperm bank that accidentally injected her with a black man's genetic material. Yep, when she had the baby, she said, "Wow, where did this come from?" And she was most annoyed. Now, it's not the kid's fault. It's, I guess if you wanted to put fault on somebody, it was probably the injector person, whoever operates the syringe there, or however they get it in there. But the things that she's saying, she says she fears that her little girl, now 3 years old, will grow up feeling like an outcast. So being part black will make the child feel like a... She says she's unconcerned about the kids having to explain that she has two mothers and no father. So the being part about the kid being black is, she thinks explaining that is going to be more difficult than explaining why she has two mothers and no father. Anyway, back to what I said to begin with. This could have been avoided. If you would like to have a child of the same race as you, and you're a woman, I would suggest marrying a man of the same race. Does that make sense? Or am I just, is that just my, my fear? Isn't that what they always say when you badmouth the queers? They say you're scared of them. Well, I don't know about all that, but. Okay. Let's see. Let me cruise down through the chat room here real quick and see what's going on. In this lawsuit, the attorneys had argued that raising a mixed-race daughter in Uniontown, Ohio, which she regards as too racially intolerant, would pose a hardship. You know, I don't even, I can't even imagine the lawyer would even take this. Well, yeah, I guess they would. That's stupid. Of course they would. But let me put this, we'll put this picture in the chat room for you here real quick. Let's see if that works. There we go. There you go. There's a... Yeah, that's right, Peanut Rider. That's another term for pervert. That's right. All right, let's see. Let's hit the bank here and see what else. Oh, did you guys see that they... Kim Smith, is that her name? The gal that was locked up for not issuing marriage license, she's out. And they say, well, you know, you're going to have to issue marriage license, you're going to have to find another job. They're going to have to put you somewhere else in a different area, or you're going to have to issue. But anyway, she is out of there. And since she's been in there, at least 30 magistrates in North Carolina are now all refusing to conduct same-sex marriages. And I think that is outstanding. And I've talked about my little girlfriend here a time or two, Jan Morgan. Jan Morgan is, I don't know what her, I think she's a model. She's drop-dead gorgeous. But I don't know if she's a model or what, but she, nevertheless, whatever she is, she has a gun shop, an indoor shooting range in Arkansas. And I've talked to you about her before. We've talked about her her anti-Muslim policy there. She says she's now looking at potential federal investigation. Says she has no intention of rolling back that policy. She says she'll shut it down. She'll close the business down. She said that the Quran contains 109 verses commanding hate, murder, and terror against all human beings who refuse to submit or convert to Islam. And she says, why would I put a loaded handgun in someone's hand that teaches that? So she's not backing off. She's looking at a federal investigation now, and we need to get ready with the emails. We may have to mobilize LFA and head to Arkansas here. I don't know what's going to happen. Let me put this picture in the chat room for you. This is a picture of Jan on one of her motorcycles. Let's see here if this is going to work. Hey, that one's going to work just as good as the other one did. How about that? There you go. That's right. Basic V2 Basic. She is an elected employee, but you know she's going to have to make a decision there. She's going to have to. In spite of whether law is constitutional, what we would consider legal or not, it is the law that they are enforcing, whether we abide by it or not, and that's what she's going to have to base her decision on. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'll be anxious to see how it turns out. You guys heard that there was another police officer shot in Las Vegas, ambush style. I want to remind you once again of the prediction that I made here about a year ago. Well, up until now, we have assumed that all of this was a racial thing, the attack on cops. According to the message that the 911 operator got in Denver today, it says that the guy said we intend to spread fear. I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me. He said, we intend to spread fear. We're going to kill every cop that we find out there by themselves. And then he cited one of the reasons was evicting innocent people out of their homes and stuff like that. So it's not all racial, if any of it's racial. I think that people are simply, at least in some regard, some areas, people are getting fed up. They're tired. And our good law enforcement officers out there, our brothers in blue, are going to pay the price for the things that the people above them have forced them to do. And it's going to get ugly. I'll tell you, there's a lot of cops in Denver. And they're going to have to... Denver and Aurora is where this took place. And there's stories about the... there's reports of Black Panthers and the Black Lives Matter, some kind of group, and all that. They are all saying that... And they're saying that it may be on September 11th. So we may have... we may have numerous issues on September the 11th, and if the financial collapse happens that everybody seems to think is going to happen about that time, then it's going to be quite a party. It's going to be quite the event coming up here in a couple of weeks. No, in couple of days. Interesting stuff. Interesting times that we live in. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, Doc, if by any chance we did happen to go out there, you better believe that I'd give you a holler. We'd love to see you if you could make the trip up there. We'll give you plenty of notice so that you can make it up there. I think Yakima Glock, I'm pretty sure that Jan Morgan's deal, I'm pretty sure it's in or near Little Rock. But just do a search for Jan Morgan Gun. Oh, it's in Hot Springs, Arkansas. She has a gun shop called the Gun Cave. Indoor shooting, not a gun shop, but a shooting range. The Gun Cave, Muslim-free zone. Due to the inherent risk that she identified in allowing followers of the faith access to her facility. So, Jan Morgan... In spite of her obvious good looks and everything else, she is definitely on our side. She is she's standing her ground, and by golly, we should stand with her if that's what it's going to require. But wouldn't hurt if you guys. Let's see if I have any contact information. She'd probably like to have some. Know that she's got some support, some emails or something there. Hamas links versus Jan Morgan. Let's see, what's the policy? Let me see if I can. I'm going to put the story that where the policy was brought into question here. I'm going to drop that in the chat room for you before I leave, like right now. And there you go. There's one story, and I'm going to put the other one in here from westernjournalism.com. And you guys get a chance. We're just about done here, so I would like for you to look at these stories. and check and see. I'm sure there's some contact information. Just do a search on the Gun Cave in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and you'll find an email address there somewhere so that you can send your support to Jan Morgan. She has a Facebook page. There's a lot of ways to get a hold of Jan Morgan. Okay. All right. We've run a little bit over. No biggie. Nobody follows me. It doesn't matter. Long slide. Good night, brother. Glad you made it in for a little while. let me see if I can see what's going on in the chat room before I pull out of here. C7 says, if you want to talk about your projections, you quit making them. Dire predictions years and years ago. Okay. All right. Yeah, C7's been with me a long time. C7 and Casper Mountain. And we used to have a guy, and he's over in a place now where he just doesn't have very good internet. He's actually here in Arizona. Mountain Redneck. Remember him? Mountain Redneck was out of Cortez, Colorado. And he is down here now about, it's about 100 miles west of where I'm at. And but he's not able to get on the chat room much anymore. He hasn't been on for quite a while now that he's moved into kind of a hole down there. All right, well, I'm babbling. I'm running out of things to babble about, so I'm going to stop babbling, and I'm going to get out of here. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow, Amy will not be on because it's Wednesday. I will be on at 8:30 Pacific time, also because it's Wednesday. Good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.